Good afternoon, and welcome to the Elementia Third Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Juan Francisco Sanchez Kramer, Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Gary. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Elementia's conference call on this October 22nd of 2015. We will discuss the performance of the company during the third quarter and first 9 months of the year. Management comments will be based on earnings release issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the earnings release, it is now available at Elementia website in the Investor Relations section. Comments today may include forward-looking statements and are based on data that is currently available. Please refer to the disclaimer in the press release for guidance on this matter. It's important to highlight that all figures are in Mexican pesos unless otherwise stated, and all comparisons are done versus the same period of last year. Our speakers for today are Fernando Ruiz Jax, our CEO, Rafael Lira, our CFO, and myself, Juan Francisco Sanchez Kramer, RIO. Before we begin, let me remind you that Elementia is a unique building materials platform with a comprehensive product portfolio, leading brands, an extensive distribution network, through which we have successfully integrated our three divisions, cement, building systems, and metal products, aiming to be a one-stop vendor. We are strategically positioned in attractive markets with high growth potential and our countries with strong and resilient macroeconomic fundamentals, like the U.S., Mexico, and Colombia, which together represent over 80% of our revenues. We have a clear definition of our strategy and visible opportunities to continue a profitable and responsible growth, paying careful attention to our capital allocation based on return over invested capital and a strong balance sheet supported by our financial discipline. Now, I would like to ask Fernando Ruiz to discuss Elementia's performance for the third quarter and first 9 months of the year.
Thank you. Thank you, Juan Francisco, and good day to everyone. Thank you for your time and your interest in Elementia. First of all, I'd like to highlight our commitment to open and close dialogue with our investors. Going straight into the company's performance, the main messages I would like to convey today are: first, within the challenging macroeconomic conditions that have prevailed during the year and have somewhat worsened during the third quarter, we continue delivering strong figures. The performance of each division of the company is going according to our plan, with solid growth and incremental profitability. Second, figures for the third quarter once again met the expectations shared with you during our IPO roadshow as we continue taking solid steps to fulfill 2015 goals and lay the foundation for the future of Elementia. And just let me give you some quick examples. Consolidated revenues increased 10% in the quarter and 13% on an accumulated basis, while consolidated EBITDA grew 13% for both the quarter and first 9 months, supported by incremental volume and cost reduction initiatives across all divisions, and of course better pricing mainly in the cement division. Third, we delivered very strong cash flow before CapEx in the first 9 months, totaling $2.2 billion. Fourth, we had an outstanding quarter in metal products division despite copper price declines, and we have reached optimal capacity utilization in the cement division. And fifth, the projects that support our profitable growth strategy are ongoing. The third quarter volatility was characterized by several relevant macroeconomic conditions. Among them, the more relevant were the formal notification of China's economic deceleration in the first week of July, the flight to safety behavior in global markets, which revalued the U.S. dollar against most of the world's currencies, the U.S. Fed resolution to hold back the increase in interest rates somehow helped to mitigate the macroeconomic environment. In the middle of this reality, we completed a successful IPO, and our share price has performed better than our peers. Our solid strategy and our unique distribution network, as well as cross-selling activities between divisions, allowed us to record double-digit growth in both revenue and EBITDA, driven by incremental volumes, higher pricing, a greater focus on higher value-added products, and cost reduction initiatives across all divisions. Our performance was also very positive in terms of working capital, where we are focusing on inventory optimization. As a result of strong EBITDA and carefully managed working capital, the company generated a strong cash flow. Now, let me walk you through the performance and expectations of each division. Beginning with the cement division, which was the main driver for consolidated revenue and EBITDA growth, we are very pleased with the market dynamics of Central Mexico. Demand continues to be strong, and now the happy problem we're having is that the existing capacity is sold out, which is the main reason for the capacity expansion we have already started with the IPO proceeds. During the quarter, we completed the ramp-up of the current installed capacity according to our plan, and we have reached an optimal operating rate, which for the third quarter of 2015 delivered a 28% volume increase over the third quarter of 2014. This, along with higher average prices that stemmed from price adjustments the industry carried out during the first half of 2015, as well as a better product mix, led the division to post a 45% revenue increase. This top-line improvement, together with fuel cost optimization, lower energy prices, and benefits from a better raw material selection, translated into a 28% EBITDA increase in the third quarter of 2015. According to our expectations, these same factors will continue to be the main drivers for the rest of the year. Our rationale for the IPO was the capacity expansion we have already started in the cement division, which will add close to 1.5 million tons per year out of our Tula facility. We expect to have close to 3.5 million tons per year of installed capacity in our system once this expansion is completed in mid-2017. We will update you on the development of the project on a regular basis. As of today, we have already signed a turnkey contract to build this expansion. We have also completed the orders for the main equipment and began groundworks. The project remains on schedule, and therefore we are confident of the startup of these operations by mid-2017. Moving now to the metal product division, we are very pleased to inform you that we have delivered better than expected results. The division showed a 6% volume increase and 1% price increase through September 2015, mainly due to a product mix focused on more value-added products and also because of currency fluctuations. Remember that this division is 100% dollar or dollar-related in terms of revenues, and that revenue for this division is not a key factor since it's related to international copper prices. It is worth highlighting that despite the international price of copper posted a 4% decline versus second quarter 2015 and an 18% decline versus third quarter 2014, During the quarter, the marginal contribution in dollars per ton increased 9% versus the second quarter of 15, which confirms the right approach of the commercial strategy as well as the focus on higher value-added products. Nevertheless, the fast decline in the copper reference price during the quarter had an impact of more than $24 million in the P&L as a consequence of inventory revaluation. In order to prevent this from happening again, we are already implementing a hedging strategy, which Rafael will go into the details later on. In addition, the cost-cutting initiatives we are implementing are a fundamental focus for the division, have benefited the EBITDA, which was 90% up for the figure from January through September 2014. Copper price per ton is quite different from steel price per ton. The incremental volume of galvanized steel sheets has helped the results of the division, but has somehow affected the per ton figures. Considering that we are selling the galvanized steel sheets to the building systems division because it is more aligned with the roofing distribution channel, we have decided that starting in the fourth quarter of 2015, these operations will be consolidated within the building systems division. Before turning the floor to Rafael Lira, our CFO, who will walk us through the figures for the quarter and the year to date, I'd like to give you my thoughts on the building systems divisions. As with the other divisions, we managed a 9% increase in the volume sold during the third quarter 2015, mainly driven by the U.S. operations, along with synergies developed throughout the division, which was partially affected by the performance of Central America region in COGS. It is important to highlight that in the same time frame, revenues increased 15%, benefiting also from better average pricing. However, mainly due to a revaluation of the U.S. dollar against most of the currencies of the countries where we have operations, the division posted 1% EBITDA growth. Looking ahead, we strongly believe that we are strategically located to capture the opportunities of the markets of the countries where we operate. In particular, we are very positive on the recovery trend of the housing industry in the U.S., as well as the potential growth of building systems in Latin America, which we believe might be relevant drivers for our future performance. Our EBITDA margin is on its way to recovery, affected by underperforming EBITDA from operations in the U.S., but this has been improving constantly. Now, I'd like to ask Rafael to walk us through our quarterly and accumulated figures. Rafael, if you please.
Thank you, Fernando. And thank you all for being here with us today. As Fernando mentioned, we are strongly committed to having an open communication with the investor community. I would like to address first the impact of the FX in our debt position in U.S. dollars, as some of you have shown concern. Our gross debt as of September 30th of this year was $11.33 billion, a 9% increase over the $10.38 billion registered at the year end of 2014, mainly due to the impact of the exchange rate on the senior unsecured notes for $425 million. First of all, we have strong cash flow generation that is long in U.S. dollars, given that more than 60% of our revenue and close to 40% of our cost is in dollars or dollar-related. Given this structure, the operation easily covers the coupon. The main generators of U.S. dollars are the metal product divisions, which is 100% dollarized, and the operations in the U.S. Second, given that the impact is related to a mark-to-market effect and not a cash flow issue, we would rather to be cautious in the decisions we make in this regard. What I mean is that at current exchange rate, in our opinion, now is not the best time to execute any hedging position because of volatility and exchange rate levels. In summary, yes, we are aware of FX impact in our net income, and we want to make sure we make the best decision to preserve our balance sheet strong. For now, having a strong cash flow in US dollars and a solid balance sheet will allow us to navigate the capital market volatility. Rest assured that we will take the best course of action at the best moment in time if we decide to change our financial strategy and then hedge. Bear in mind the long-term life of any hedging position. To preserve our solid balance sheet and improve the company's debt profile, we want to share you that we are paying today the outstanding short-term debt in our Mexican peso-denominated bond, Cebur, which was due in this month. This payment improves our profile as we have now more than 98% of total debt in long-term. This represents 3 billion pesos. Net debt to EBITDA ratio, we closed the third quarter at 1.38 times, while our interest coverage was 4 times. Both ratios well below the covenant set by the financial institutions. Free cash flow from operations before CAPEX at the end of the quarter reached 95% of the accumulated EBITDA. We are closely following our working capital. During the quarter, the company consumed close to 25 million, mainly due to increasing receivables and inventories of building systems as revenue grew, which were partially offset by extended confirming payment terms. I also like to highlight the impact of the IPO over the cash position and shareholders' equity, increasing both of them by more than 4 billion pesos when compared to the figures 2014, as proceeds from the IPO were allocated in cash, and we recognize accordingly the capital contribution made by our investors. Now, going to the profit and loss statement, consolidated revenues for the third quarter 2015 increased 10% over the same period of 2014. Mainly due to incremental volume sold in the cement and building system divisions. Accumulated consolidated revenues for the first 9 months of 2015 were 13% higher than the same period of last year. And as expected, the cement division was the main driver, which compensated the decline in international copper prices, which impacted revenues in the metal product division. In terms of geographic footprint, 75% of the consolidated revenues were done in Mexico and the U.S., 17% in South America, 6% in Central America, and the remaining 2% in other countries. Accumulated EBITDA at the end of September 2015 was 13% higher, increasing from 2.06 billion in 2014 to 2.34 billion in 2015. EBITDA margin was 18% for both years. As we have mentioned, the EBITDA generation tends to balance between divisions as the EBITDA of cement division will continue to grow. Net income for the first 9 months of 2015 reached 8 million, representing a decrease of 611 million when compared to the same period of last year, mainly due to the exchange rate impact on the debt position in US dollars, which was 1.6 billion. Turning now to the performance by division and starting with the cement division, accumulated revenues through September 2015 show a 36% increase over the same period of 2014, reaching $1.72 billion. This increase mainly stems from higher rev volume related to a high capacity utilization rate of plants and a higher average price given the adjustments made by the industry in the first half of 2015. Accumulated EBITDA at the end of September 2015 was $686 million, an increase of 69% over 2014, benefiting from the reasons already mentioned, and also improvements in production and lower electricity costs when compared with 2014. EBITDA margin for the first 9 months reached 40% and 38% in the third quarter 2015, due to a one-off item mainly related to marketing expenses. The metal product division accumulated revenues to September reached $5.87 billion, 7% higher than those reported in 2014. The factors that offset the 18% decline in the international copper price were a better product mix in line with the focus on higher value products, higher volume sold, and the impact of currency exchange. In line with our strategy to focus on the EBITDA per ton, the marginal contribution increased 9%. During the quarter, we execute an inventory revaluation that impacted EBITDA by more than $24 million as a result of an accelerated reference price decline. In order to prevent this from happening again, we have already defined a hedging strategy which we are implementing during this current quarter. This strategy is based on a model of buying futures on a daily basis, not long term, considering the monthly consumption of copper to have an inventory value at average daily purchase, avoiding a potential impact of copper price decreases in our inventory during the month. As we already mentioned in regard to the sale of our metal products, we have a natural hedge because we set the prices in dollars per ton to our customers, and we establish and maintain a markup that allows to transfer the risk of volatility price and exchange rate effect to the market. In short, we believe that with this strategy we can eliminate the potential impact on inventory valuation due to change in copper price. Accumulated EBITDA from January through September 2015 was $787 million, or 19% higher than the figures reported in 2014. Despite incremental volume of higher value products, the division benefits from the cost optimization initiatives and better metal yields. The building system's accumulated revenues through September 2015 were $5.19 billion, showing a 14% increase over the same period of 2014. Mainly driven by an 8% increase in the volume sold in the U.S. and a 6% average price increase, which compensates the lower performance of the Central American region in terms of cost of goods sold. Accumulated EBITDA through September 2015 was $883 million, 2% higher than 2014. The U.S. operations EBITDA margin continues its trend of recovery coming from underperforming figures. With this, I return the call to operator for Q&A.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question comes from Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Hello, Elementia team. Good morning. The first one is about the cement division. According to the numbers that you published, it seems that your utilization rate is probably now around 95% of or higher. So I was wondering if there's anything that you can do to continue growing volumes sequentially, or should we just assume that volumes could remain at these levels in the next few quarters until the capacity addition is completed? I would like to start with that question, and the second one would be regarding your strategy to enter ready mix, if you had any revenues from that product in specific. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Vanessa. This is Fernando Ruiz. Great question. As you said, our utilization rate today in the cement division is quite high. And yes, we have different strategies for next year. So first of all, we feel regarding volume, we are making some investments. Of course, they are very strategic for our company. But what I can tell you is that we will have somewhat more volume in the third quarter next year. So third quarter next year, you can expect a volume increase. That's all I can say about that. Now, regarding what we have today, I can tell you that our clinker factor is the highest by far in the industry. So there we still have some room to move. I mean, we are perceived as the one of the best qualities in the market. We do not want to move from that, but we have some room to move from the clinker factor that we are using today. Other interesting things that we will work on in order to keep improving our results for next year is we will begin, and we are beginning already, to switch a little bit our distribution strategy. As you may imagine, I mean, when you start operations of this volume, we approach many second step distributors. So having been already 2 years in the market, give us the chance to start working and diluting this and going straight to first step distributors, and with that we can increase our margins. Other opportunity area that we have, Vanessa, is that we can switch the bulk and bag mix that we have today. Today we are still selling not a very important but an interesting part in bulk. And we feel that we can sell more bags, and as you know, they are more profitable. So we see an opportunity there. Other things that we are confident is regarding pricing. The dynamics of the market, as you know, are very interesting. I mean, many of our competitors are basically sold out in central Mexico. So that's why we have been able to increase our prices in this year. And we feel that this tendency will keep on going for the next year as well. And basically, that would be all my comments regarding your first question. Regarding
your second question, we are already in the ready-mix market.
We have three plants operating. We have one in Polanco, which is in central Mexico. We have another one in Vallejo, here in central Mexico, very, very close to our headquarters, and we just opened a new one in Tula, Hidalgo, which will be working for our capacity expansion, in line expansion in that same facility. What I can tell you from that from the ready mix business is that we are doing great. The three plants are operating a lot better than we expected. Today we have an EBITDA margin of 18% already, so we are very happy. But as I told you, we will focus on cement.
we will open a couple more ready mix facilities in the next year or couple of years, and basically that will be it. We will focus on cement. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, it's very clear. Thanks. If I can have another question, please. It's regarding the hedge strategy that you are planning to implement for metals. Can you explain exactly how that will work, and in specific, what would be the upside and downside? I mean, at what point of the exchange rate you would start losing from this strategy? Thanks.
Sure, Vanessa, thank you, and good to hear you. First, I have to remind that we have a natural hedge in the revenues of the metal divisions because the cost is 40% related to dollar, and 100% of the revenues are in dollar or linked to dollar. So we are not concerned about the generation of free cash flow to face the commitment that we have in terms of the coupons. In metal division, we have an offset in terms of that all the prices are fixed with the customers in dollar terms, but in our inventories we suffer the effects of the declining prices of copper during the month. If we take the value at the beginning of the month and we consider the price at the end, we have a reduction, an important reduction, and in the valuation of the inventory in that month affects the P&L by the valuation. So to avoid that, we were evaluating a lot of alternatives, and we are entering in a hedging that consists in futures just by month. If we sold about 5,000 tons per month, we will protect at the beginning 3.5 tons, you know, of the metal, and we will put orders by day, you know, in order to have an average of the cost in the valuation of the inventory. With that, we avoid the variations that we will have at the end of the month when we receive an important order from certain customers. That is the main reason. And this will be with an international bank to have the enough balance sheet to support this operation. And the risk is just capped by a month. We don't have the idea to implement this for a year. It's evaluating month by month. And if we consider that the price will be increasing, we just stop the operation.
That's very helpful. Thanks, Rafa. Thanks, Fernando.
Thank you, Vanessa.
The next question comes from Cecilia Jimenez with Santander. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi, good morning to everyone. My question is regarding the building materials division. If you could give us some color on the COGS, the higher CAGs you mentioned on the report, is it because they are U.S. dollar denominated, or is it something else specifically for the part?
Okay, thank you, Cecilia. Thank you for your question. Great question. And let me just give you just a ballpark of what is happening. Mainly the increasing in cost, we have it in Central America, basically in our operations of El Salvador and Costa Rica. And the problem there is that we invested an interesting amount in robots. We invested this a year and a half ago, and they were very productive. With these robots, we were able to decrease our labor in a very considerable way. And just let me give you an example. 3 years ago in Plaisem, we used to have more than 100 people working for us. Today we have less than 500 people. So this has been given because of many things, but an important issue has been the robots.
So given the experience that we had, we decided to basically roboticize the whole operations in El Salvador and Costa Rica, and we've been struggling in the last couple of months. Our breakage has increased dramatically because we are in the learning curve of managing these robots. So we already passed the stage where we already know how to operate the robots. Our operators already know how to operate them. Of course, we are having some resistance from some of them because they don't like that we are taking away some labor, reducing our costs because of these robots. But the good thing here is that we expect that this learning curve is basically near to end. We think that our operations will normalize in basically a month or 2 months at the most, and we will have better cost in our operations down there.
Okay, thanks. Very clear. And then my second question has to do with the hedges and specifically between copper and FX. I understand the copper impact and the hedges you are thinking there, but doesn't it make sense also to if we think about the FX impact, it also non-cash that you have on the balance sheet, doesn't it make sense to think about that too as well? I mean, sure. I know at current prices it probably doesn't make sense, but 1 year ago we didn't think it was going to go up to this level. I don't know. I'm just looking at the impact. The inventory write-off is just $24 million, while the FX impact is like over $700 million. So I don't know why it could make sense to cover the copper side and not cover the dollar port side.
Sure, because at the end of... Yeah, sure, Cecilia, thank you. At the end of the month, we have to evaluate the inventory, and if we receive an important order from a customer, we have to take the inventory at that cost, and that makes the impact because we revaluate with the cost of goods in that sale. That is the impact in the P&L.
Also, Cecilia, thank you for the question. This is Juan Francisco. The main difference between the two hedging opportunities that we have is time frame. For the copper hedging, as Rafael mentioned, it can be done, or we will be doing it, in a monthly basis, and the decision to call off is just like that, a month. While in the debt position, any position that we take in hedging, it will be for the long run. And an unwind of a long run is quite expensive. That is why it makes sense to implement already the hedging position in the copper price and not yet in the debt position.
Okay, I understand. Just a follow-up here. What's the rule to write off the inventories on the copper side? Is it, I don't know, how do you decide when to actually do the write-off or the write-up if it should be done?
Well, this is, and just a clarification, the write-off was 24 million pesos, not dollars.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I meant to say pesos, sorry.
Yes. And the way that we do it is we have some policies for inventories, also for receivables and payables, and we executed the policy at the work. So that was the trigger.
Okay, thanks. Just maybe one more question regarding the other operations. You mentioned, Fernando, that probably by the third Q next year, we will see incremental volumes on the cement side. When should we see the startup of the second line of the Tula plant? Should we expect it for 4Q this year or already 2016?
The big one, I mean, the line will be fully operative in July 2017.
Yes. But the ramp-up, when should we start the ramp-up process just to have a sense of when we will see cost rising and EBITDA margin dropping?
Well, for a while, of course, the EBITDA margins will drop while we do the ramp-up, but we foresee that we will have a full ramp-up two years after we start off.
My last question was regarding the percentage of coverage you are, or hedges you're looking on the production of copper. What would be covered? Is it 100? Is it half of it? I'm not sure if you mentioned it before. Sorry.
Hi, Cecilia. I'm sorry, everyone, we lost connection. So probably you can hear us as well as you did. We are doing our best. What we try to explain is that the hedging position in copper will cover the selling operation in a monthly basis. So we will be rewarding hedging in a monthly basis. Usually the copper price has a trend, to put it in a way, or the variations are soft. But in this quarter, we faced a hasty decline in prices, which created this disruption. And that is precisely what we are covering with this hedging strategy.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Cecilia.
The next question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the call. I have questions mainly on the building systems division. I was wondering if you could give us more detail on the strength of the U.S. operations. Do you think it's due to that you're gaining volumes because you're gaining market share, or is the sector gaining volumes overall, or what are you seeing there?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rodrigo, for your question. Regarding our U.S. operations in global systems, I mean, we are doing quite well. As you know, we took over this operation in 2014. We bought it from Saint-Gobain, which was a losing operation. We gave a full swing to this operation, and we turned it to black numbers. As of today, the market is growing. The market is growing, and the fiber cement siding is gaining market share versus other types of siding, such as vinyl or so on and so forth. So the category at its own is doing great. It's growing at an interesting rate. And also we are gaining market share from our biggest competitor, which is James Hardy. For strategic reasons, I would love to give you more information, but for strategic reasons, I would prefer to remain cautious. But what I can tell you is that the operation is on the right track. Is going according to plan, and it's delivering the results that we were expecting.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Hey, and also, on Mexico, on cement, could you give us kind of your strategy for pricing? Because you had told us before that you were selling at quite low prices to distributors to gain market share. So are you doing something different now? Now that you're at 90-95% capacity utilization, are you increasing prices or are you planning to increase pricing?
Well, Rodrigo, I mean, that's a tough question. But of course, I mean, we are trying to increase our prices. I mean, as you know better than me, prices in Mexico are one of the lowest in Latin America. Many of the investments that we conducted are in U.S. dollars. We need to increase prices in order to maintain our profitability. Having said that, I don't know if you want to like explain something.
Thank you, Fernando. Yes, as Fernando mentioned, the industry has been doing some efforts to recover the value that was lost in the previous years. And having said that, and that the demand remains strong, which has sort of a sold-out position along with other players, it gives a very good environment for the trend to recover in pricing. Now, our pricing strategy remains to be top quality, top pricing. We don't set the pricing of the full industry, but we are aiming to be in the top quality.
Okay, perfect. And one last question, very quick one. What percentage of your metal division sales are in pesos?
Here, let me elaborate on that. All the metal that we buy is in dollars. All the products that we sell are in dollars. Even that we may invoice in pesos, the invoice is done at the currency of the date that we do the transaction. So all the metal division is dollar-based, 100%. Some of it is actual dollar, and a big chunk is dollar synthetic.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Juan Tavares with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My first question is regarding your CapEx. Has this FX movement changed any of the CapEx that you're expecting to put out for the growth project? And if you could remind us, what's your full-year CapEx expectation for 2015 and 2016? And then my second question is just a bit of visibility there on the cement division on bags versus bulk. Could you tell us how much of your volumes went to bags this quarter compared to last quarter? Thanks.
Sure. This is Rafael Mira, and thank you for your question. In terms of CapEx, as of September, we invest, we'll say, about 1.1 billion pesos, and our projection for the rest of the year is in the range of 2.2 to 2.4 billion pesos, depending on how much we will put in carryover for next year. But the rough number is that the amount. The amount for organic is about between 600 or 700, and the rest is the expansion.
Has that CapEx number changed because of the FX? Like, how much of your growth CapEx is dollar-based versus local currency-based, just to understand if you're getting a benefit here with the weaker peso?
Okay. About 80% is dollar-based, and the rest is by civil work in the land, and the rest is peso. The 80% is dollar-based.
Now, Juan, regarding your second question, what I can tell you is that we have improved the mix of bags versus bulk. Today, we are basically 28% bulk, 72% bags.
Okay, thank you very much. Very helpful.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. The next question comes from John Brandt with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my question. Just quickly on the cement division, I noticed you had the one-time expense related to some marketing. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on what that marketing was, if it really is a one-time related item or if we'll continue to see it quarter after quarter. And what impact it had, if you could quantify what impact it had on margins. And then secondly, on cement margins in general, given that you're operating at 95% utilization rates, should we expect margins going forward just to be a function of where prices are, how much you're able to increase prices, or are there potential cost savings that you could do, at least, for the next year until the new capacity comes online? Thanks.
Thank you, John. Thank you for your question. Regarding the marketing one-off in the cement division, basically, as we mentioned, we are now 72% in back. So marketing and branding is quite relevant for the division. That is why we are doing additional efforts that hopefully we will be able to see very soon in massive media. I mean, I cannot go further than this right now, but shortly. We decided to execute it in advance or in one payment because that was kind of the condition the fees advertising had.
And just to clarify, this is the way that these kind of expenses are made in the market. And you have this kind of contract you have to execute at the beginning. And it's not a decision of the business. We have to do it in this way.
Now, for your second question regarding margin on the cement division, the main factor might be the trending prices for the future. But as we mentioned, we are continuously doing cost optimization in the process. For one, we are doing efforts in the selection of the clay that we are using, and that has allowed us already to have a better cost decision and will improve in the next quarters. Also, we are improving the cost in fuel that has already delivered some benefits and will continue delivering improvements. So besides pricing and additional volume, you will see benefits from the cost position. Also, in the mining process for the clay, we are improving mixes of the clay that will also will improve or continue improving our cost position. So it is both ways, top line and cost.
Okay, thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you very much.
This concludes our question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Fernando Ruiz Jax for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. And before we conclude the conference, I'd like to reiterate five key messages for Elementia. First, we feel we are on the right track. Our performance in the third quarter is another solid step to reach our goals for the year. Second, we are progressing in our growth strategy. The cement capacity expansion in Tula facility is on its way. Third, we will continue with our focus on profitability while keeping our conservative leverage policy and strong balance sheet. Fourth, the finance team led by Rafael has worked with most of the local and international banks since his arrival at Elementia to try to find an efficient hedging strategy for the dollar-denominated debt. However, the strategies that have been discussed, such as cross-currency swaps, call spreads, collar, phone swaps, among others, are not fitting to our needs because, as we are long in dollars, the coupons are covered by cash flow. While we don't think that the current exchange rate level will prevail until maturity in 2025, and finally, in the event that the exchange rate returns to better level, the cost of unwinding is very high. We must remain cautious and understand that these hedges are contracted for the long term and should not be viewed as short-term solutions. In our opinion, the conditions for currency exchange will remain volatile. Therefore, we believe that we are taking the right steps in the analysis and evaluation of every possible hedging alternative. And we have discussed them in depth with the finance team, including those of our main shareholders. We will keep you informed of any developments on this regard. And fifth, the potential impact on EBITDA for the metal products division from a hasty variation in inventory has been solved by the hedging strategy we are implementing. So thank you for your time and confidence in the company, and we look forward to speaking with you on our next conference call in February. Have a great day.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.